The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we had finished up the introduction to the arthropods. Took longer than I had anticipated, but maybe it will have been helpful to you. I hope that is the case. And we're going to start looking at examples now of the organisms that are found in this phylum. I mentioned last time that in the animal kingdom, there are 10 major animal phyla, and the total number depends on whose book you're reading. We are concerned presently with the phylum Arthropoda, those organisms with jointed feet, those organisms that have an exoskeleton. In this phylum, there are three subphyla categories that we will use to help wrestle with the unbelievable numbers of organisms that we find here. There is a subphylum Trilobita that we want to spend our time on during this program, talking about them a little. There is a subphylum Chelicerata and a subphylum Mandibulata, and in turn we will discuss these. Now, the trilobites to me are very, very interesting. I do not know what your interests are and whether you have any interest particularly in fossils. I assume, having been a boy child at one time, that most boys are interested in rocks, and particularly if you have rocks that have evidence of critters in them, that makes them even more interesting. I don't recall that I saw any rocks with fossil trilobites in them as a child. To the best of my recollection, I think I was in college before I saw any of the trilobites. And the trilobites that we have in this country are usually not very big. Inch, maybe, inch and a half. I don't recall having seen any from in this country that are even 2 inches long. But there are places in the world, we have one in our collection from Libya that is about 4 inches long, 2.5 inches wide, perhaps. Very interesting. In phylum Arthropoda, they have an exoskeleton, a hard exoskeleton. They have jointed appendages, etc. Let me make this comment for those of you that listen to the program regularly. If you're trying to wrestle with the organisms in this phylum, probably as good a way as any other to try and separate in your thinking the different organisms is to keep track of these tagmata. How are the segments divided up in the body? Now, the trilo part of this name should suggest tri, or three. And the trilobite has three tagmata, three collections, fused sections of segments. There is a head, there is a thorax, and there is a structure known as a pygidium. Now, the head is very similar to the head of some of the other organisms. Same comment with the thorax. The pygidium is simply a little plate-like structure that is found on the posterior of the organism. These organisms are interesting to me from the standpoint that there is nothing. Well, let me qualify this a bit. I try to learn as much as I can about the areas I'm teaching, and this requires that I know something at least about fossils. I am not aware of any, in fact, I'm not aware of an actual organism that evolutionists would try and use as ancestral to the trilobites. This is one of the things that makes it interesting to me. We go back to the first place they're found in fossil strata, and this was in the Cambrian era. We will talk about that at some length when we get to fossils. We've already alluded to it before a little bit. Cambrian is simply the name that is given to what is supposed to be a period when certain kinds of rocks were laid down. It is that time during which the first unquestioned fossils were found. The age of this for the evolutionist will vary, somewhere between 550 to 600 million years ago. And the evolutionists often try and maintain that at this point, in these supposed first strata, there are found only simple fossils. Well, we would have to wrestle over simple for a moment. And if you're, when we talk about simple, if you're thinking about such things as bacteria or protozoa, the fact is there are fossil representatives of every animal phylum in the Cambrian, including trilobites. Trilobites are immensely complicated structures. There is nothing, no other arthropod fossil that is listed as ancestral to it. And there really isn't an organism of any kind, arthropod-like or not, that evolutionists have trotted out to try and be the ancestor. Now, occasionally you will hear some say, well, the ancestor arthropods obviously didn't have any exoskeleton. They were soft-bodied, therefore you're not going to find fossils. I took off the internet not too many weeks ago a number of pictures of an unbelievable collection of fossilized jellyfish. In case you think you're not hearing correctly, you are. Fossilized jellyfish. Now, it's a little tough to think about an organism that's any softer than jellyfish is. So, if you can have fossil jellyfish, there is certainly no reason that you ought not to have fossils of an organism that has some sort of a body wall that is much more, has much more substance than jellyfish do. So the notion that the ancestors to the trilobites are lost simply because they weren't hard specimens makes no sense. We've talked on occasion about a number of other fossils as well. Cherry blossoms, for example, and all kinds of things that you would not expect to be able to fossilize that did. But the point here is that these trilobites are simply sitting there in the middle of the Cambrian strata. There's nothing that leads up to them. There is nothing that leads away from them. For some years, there were evolutionists who tried to argue that the trilobites were ancestral to the insects. Well, if in fact that is true, then it wasn't evolution, it was devolution. For the simple reason that trilobites have many more appendages than insects do. So that if they were the ancestors, then they actually lost structures changing into the insects. And for a number of reasons, this again is simply not sensible, but it is a ploy that you will occasionally hear the evolutionists using. So you have these very interesting organisms that are simply sitting there in the fossil record, nothing leading up to them, nothing leading away from them, no ancestors, no descendants, but they're simply there. Now, this leads, of course, then to the obvious question, what happened to them? Are there not, in fact, any living trilobites on the earth today? Because of some of my perversity, I guess, I would dearly love to walk into a scientific gathering of whatever, anthropologists or zoologists, with some specimens of live trilobites sometime. Now, these things were supposed to have died out about 200 million years ago. Are there any of them left alive on the earth? Not. I don't know. In my mind, it is possible, unlikely, granted, but maybe possible. We've got other organisms that have survived that were thought by the evolutionists at one time to be have ceased to exist. The coelacanth being an obvious example, the lobe fin fish, and a number of other organisms. So I think it's possible. It is interesting to me. There is a little arthropod in the Salt Lake, Great Salt Lake in Utah, that is very, very similar in some respects to the arthropods. And so I don't know. Maybe they're all dead. There certainly were, apparently, there were more organisms, more species of organisms that died in the flood than there are those that we have on the earth today. So the flood was the cause of the death of many, many organisms, millions of them. So maybe there aren't any more around. I don't know. But at any rate, we have the fossil indications of them, fossil specimens, that simply indicate here was a very unusual organism that lived at one time. It is not alive today. And as I mentioned to you previously, we would argue that the reason for the deposition was simply the Noachian deluge. So this is the first of the organisms that we're looking at in phylum Arthropoda. Now, the second of the subphyla is the subphylum Chelicerata. If this was my biology class, I would spell that out or write it on the board for you and expect you to remember it. But since that's not the case, I won't. These are structures that occur in the head of an organism. Let's talk about in this subphylum, there are three classes, and we'll talk at least briefly about most of these. One we'll spend more time on than the other. The first of the classes is the phylum Arthropoda, is the class Myrostomata. In phylum Arthropoda, we have subphylum Trilobita, subphylum Chelicerata, and in Chelicerata, three classes. The class Myrostomata, or an old name for it was Ziphoschura. Now, some of you may have recognized these names and are familiar with the organism, so it's not a problem for you. For those of you that aren't, these are what are known as horseshoe crabs. Again, if you live near the ocean, I would expect you to have seen these at one time or another. The body is shaped somewhat like a horseshoe with an appendage sticking out the back known as a telson, a long pointed appendage. Some people are under the misimpression that these pointed appendages are the stingers, and if you get stuck with them, you're in trouble. That is not the case. There is not a stinger there. I presume they could poke it. I don't know whether it pierced the skin or not, but they might be able to poke you with it. These get to be fairly sizable. We have some specimens at school of horseshoe crabs that are foot and a half across. Again, fairly complicated structures. I was not aware until several years ago that these organisms are edible. I was fishing down on the Gulf, and I hooked something. I didn't know what it was. Thought it was a piece of wood or something. Finally got it in, and it was a big horseshoe crab, and I was getting ready to throw it back, and there was a little boy there by me fishing. He said, do you not want that? And I said, well, is it edible? He said, it sure is. And I said, well, I'll be glad for you to have it. And on the basis of the description, I may have made a mistake. Maybe I should have kept it and found out what they tasted like. To the best of my knowledge, I've not eaten horseshoe crab, but at least they are edible, and they are very unusual organisms. And again, there is nothing today or in the fossil record that can be looked on as the ancestor to the horseshoe crabs or descendants from them.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.